Yesterday, we have learned Samatha meditation, concentration meditation. Today is insight, Lei Huan, insight meditation. We call it Vipassana. What's the meaning of Vipassana? Vipassana means, Passana means seeing. Seeing phenomena as they really are. Through direct and immediate experience. Seeing things as they really are with direct or immediate experience. This is called insight meditation. So now comes the question. What are the things we see as they really are? I need your answer, so please don't close your eyes. What are the things? It's very important. If you know, then you know how to practice. So what are the things we want to see?
Mental factor and...
Mental factors is one. What are the things we want to see?
Physical factor.
Physical, okay.
The characteristic.
Characteristic is not the things.
Oh.
The object first.
Oh, yes.
What are the objects? Because anapana, we have breathing in and breathing out as objects, right? But vipassana, what are the objects? This is very important. If you don't know the object, how are you going to meditate?
Four elements.
Six.
Okay, so there are many answers. But Buddha said five aggregates. Okay, wuyun, five aggregates. Okay, what are the five aggregates? Before you practice vipassana, you must know the object thoroughly. Otherwise, you don't know what you are meditating on, right? So what are the five aggregates?
Form.
Okay, form aggregate. Okay, what is form aggregate?
Yeah.
Just now you told already.
Yeah,
four elements. Okay, four elements. So form aggregate, another word, your body. Conventional truth we call body, right? But ultimate truth we call four elements. So you must see your body. See what? See four elements. So what are the four elements?
Earth
element. Okay, what is earth element?
Solidity.
Yes. Some more?
Harshness.
Harsh. Some more?
Softness.
Soft. So when there's hard, there's soft. It's called relatively. Okay? When it's not so hard, it means soft. When it's not soft, it means hard. Okay? Then harshness, opposite? Smoothness. Smoothness, right? And another one, heaviness. So sometimes the body is so heavy, and it's called earth element as well. And the opposite of heavy?
Lightness.
So earth element has six characteristics. Hardness, softness. Harshness, smoothness. Heaviness and lightness. So when you go to your body, you see these three characteristics, you must understand. This is earth element, earth element. Is earth element a self, yourself or not?
Selfless.
Is yourself or not? Is it
no.
Earth element as myself?
No.
So this understanding, you must have this understanding. Earth element is not myself. Okay? Then the second one, water element. What's water element?
Liquid.
flowing, yes, flowing. When you see water, you only see flowing. Mm-hmm. So there's something flow in the body, blood, urine, tears, sweat. When you see something flowing in the body, you must recognize it as water element. Another characteristic is cohesion. Because there's water in the body, so all the organs can cohere together. Otherwise, it's all the organs disperse, cannot bind together. So this binding force is called water element. So sometimes when you meditate, you see the body is so tight. This is called water element. You don't say, my body is very tight, my body is very tight. This type of meditation is not correct. You should recognize, okay, water element is excessive in my body at this moment. You see it as element, not myself. Okay? Then the last one, and the third one?
Fire
element. So when you see fire, you feel hot. So hot. And the opposite of hot is cold. So these two easily discern in the body. Whenever you feel hot, then just see fire element, that's all. And fire element is not myself, okay? Then the last one,
air
or wind. When you see wind, you feel, wind has two characteristics. One is supporting. They say now, why I can sit very straight? Because wind supports my body, otherwise I collapse, okay? So supporting is wind element. Another one is pushing. Pushing, anything push in the body. If I can push my hand, I can kick my feet, right? I can flex my hand and so on. All these are called pushing or movement. It's called wind element. Or the air up. The air go up. Then the downward air. And the air in the belly and so on. All these are wind element. You should recognize it by way of the element. And out of these four elements, there are some derived elements. For example, eye. Eye sensitivity, nose, tongue, body. All these are also element, but called derived element. They arise depend on four elements. All these are the object of your contemplation. When you reason the bodhi, called kaya nupasana satipatthana, according to four foundations of mindfulness. Okay, it's only one, only form aggregate. But if you discern only form aggregate, it's still not enough to achieve enlightenment. You need to go to mental, right? So the second one is feeling aggregates. Feeling aggregates. So there are three types of feelings. Pleasant feeling, sukha vedana, unpleasant, dukkha vedana, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Adukha masukha vedana. So feeling can be mental or can be physical. What's number pain? Pain is called unpleasant bodily feeling. And sometimes you feel something that causes sorrow in your mind. This is called unpleasant mental feeling. So you must be able to recognize whether it's bodily feeling or mental feeling. And these feelings are your objects of contemplation during insight meditation. How to contemplate it later, I will explain. Now I'm explaining to you the object first. Okay? And the third one, perception. Perception is a bit difficult to contemplate. Perception perceives things and recognize. Oh, this is white, this is blue, this is sour, this is sweet. You must understand the meaning of perception. So whenever you recognize something, make a mark of something, you must know, this is perception, not I. Perception is neither I nor myself, okay? You recognize, just perception, mental factors of perception, that's all. So that you will not identify it as myself, okay? Then the fourth is Sankara Khanda. formation's aggregate. So what is the formation aggregate?
Volitional choices.
Say it again. What choices?
Volition.
Okay.
Choices.
Okay. Volition itself is one of the sankhara. The will to do something, the desire to do something, okay? It's also sankhara khanda, formations aggregate. Apart from it, different state of mind. Sankhara khanda formation aggregate is very wide, very wide, including volitions, hatred, greed, delusion, mindfulness, also wisdom. All we have learned one, all unwholesome mental state, all are sankhara, sloth and torpor. Also sankhara khanda, also formation aggregate, restlessness, remorse, doubt. All these are called sankhara khanda, formation aggregate. Another word, if we put sankhara khanda under four foundation of mindfulness, it is under citta nupassana satipatthana, under contemplation of mind, different state of mind. The mind affected by hatred, the mind affected by greed, the mind affected by sloth and torpor, the mind affected by restlessness, and so on. Okay? So if you can contemplate your state of the mind, when anger, ill will arise, you know it's just a mental state, and contemplate is vanishing, vanishing, and it passes away. Then you are practicing citta nupassana satipatthana, contemplation of the mind. Okay. So I give you a very variety of object. Then the last one, formation aggregate. The last one, consciousness aggregate. In sutta, there are six types of consciousness only. Eye consciousness. So when an object comes to impinge on the eye, you know, eye consciousness. Then you contemplate eye consciousness is impermanent, it's conditional, a reason phenomena. It's not myself. You contemplate in this way. This is called vipassana. Ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness. When you think of something, reflect something, think of the past, reflect imagination, all this under mind consciousness. So these five aggregates are the objects of your contemplation, vipassana. Okay, it's also under four foundation of mindfulness: body contemplation, feeling contemplation, mind, mental state contemplation, and Dhamma contemplation. Dhamma contemplation including four noble truths, five hindrances, and seven factors of enlightenment, and so on. So if you practice vipassana, remember all these are your objects of contemplation. Unlike anapana, only one, right? But anapana cannot lead you to vipana. Only vipassana, insight, lead you to nibbana. Okay? So these are the objects. So we say vipassana is seeing things, seeing phenomena as they really are. Okay? Now we already understand what are the things. Five aggregates. Okay? Then seeing things as they really are. What's the meaning, seeing things as they really are?
Impermanence. Unsatisfactory.
Yes, non-satisfactory.
One more. Non-self.
Non-self. Very good. Okay. So, vipassana, when we practice vipassana, we see five aggregate. One, two, three, or not all. You can choose one, two, one, three, or four. To see these five aggregate as they really are. Through your direct and immediate experience. Not through hearsay, not through book, through your direct experience. Okay. Now, next question. Why should we see five aggregates as they really are? Why?
We believe in a self.
Correct. Then, again, some more? Some more answer? Because we believe in a self, therefore we should to see non-self. We have to see non-self in order to overcome the wrong view of self. Is correct?
Mm-hmm.
Some more?
Attachment.
Yes.
Attachment.
We need to, we see why we should see suffering in order to overcome attachment. Yeah. So why should we see five aggregates as they really are? Simply because we want to overcome, we call distorted perception or distorted view of happiness, permanent, and self. Yeah? Or we want to overcome distorted mind that think everything is permanent, everything is happiness, everything is having a controller or having a self. Okay, next question. What is the consequences if we have this distorted perception or distorted view or distorted mind towards the five aggregate?
We got reborn.
Yeah. So once we have distorted view of mind in regard of this five aggregate, then the attachment grows towards the five aggregate, right? Because you think this five aggregate or your body and mind is permanent. Your body and mind is happiness. Your body and mind is having a self. Then the attachment grows. When attachment grows, then you want to have this mind and body again and again because you want to enjoy. You want to enjoy your body. You want to enjoy your having the mind. So you want to enjoy having five aggregate so that you will perform karma. You will perform actions. Karma in order to get new five aggregate in your future. Right? Therefore, according to dependent origination, depend on craving, clinging arises. Depend on clinging, karmic formation. Right? And depend on karmic formation, what's the next?
Birth.
Yes, birth. Depend on birth. When there's birth, there is aging, sickness, debt, lamentation, grief, sorrow, and despair. Thus arise the whole mess of suffering. Then what's the purpose of practice? Just to end suffering, right? Just to end suffering. So in order to end suffering, we have to see five aggregates as they really are. This is the only way that we can bring to the end of suffering. Because when craving ceases, clinging ceases. When clinging ceases, no more karmic becoming. When there's no karmic becoming, there's no birth. When there's no birth, there's no aging, sickness, and death. Thus, come to the cessation of the whole mess of suffering. So this is called vipassana. Okay, is it clear to you?
Yes.
When you're clear, you know the way of practice. If you don't care, why should I practice vipassana? I don't know. Then there's no enthusiasm. Even you practice in the wrong way, you do not know. Because you don't understand the whole picture. Okay? So vipassana insight is to seeing five aggregate or seeing phenomena. Seeing six sense spaces, or seeing four elements or seeing five aggregates as they really are, as impermanent, as suffering, as non-self through your direct experience. This is called Vipassana. So to achieve this goal, I design a system way of noting, system way of comprehend this in order to achieve, to finally seeing impermanent. When you see impermanent, you see suffering. When you see impermanent and suffering, you see non-self. Therefore, important to see impermanent first. Okay, so I call this practice moment to moment practice. It's in my book. Can you share my book? It's the last chapter of my book. Okay, but now I'm coming a new book, new edition to my to this book. Okay. I call it radical. First, in order to understand phenomena as they really are, at initial stage, we must have mindfulness first. Without mindfulness, you cannot contemplate impermanent, right? You also don't know what's happening in your mind. How are you going to see it's vanishing? It's not possible. So in order to achieve this, we must have mindfulness first. Sati. So what is sati? Mindfulness. In USA, sati is very common. Everybody practice mindfulness meditation. But very few practice insight meditation. They practice sati more than insight. Mindfulness, okay, there are two. In general speaking, mindfulness means aware. Aware of something. Purely aware, without putting one's own judgment, bias, or prejudice. Purely aware what's happening. Without involve one's own reaction. Reaction is the refinement already. Just purely aware. So, mindfulness, there are two, first, mindfulness is recognize. You recognize something. For example, pain arises in me. When I sit for half an hour, there is pain. Then I recognize there is pain. This is called mindfulness. Or when anger arises in me, I recognize it. There is anger in my mind. When sloth and torpor arise in me, I recognize there is sloth and torpor. Then this is called mindfulness. But some people, for example, anger arises in me, you recognize it. After recognize somebody, push away the anger. I don't like the anger. I don't like the anger. Then you lose the mindfulness already. You start to react to the anger. So at that moment, you lose the mindfulness. So after recognizing what is happening in your mind and body, the second step is accept it. Acceptance. Whether it's good or bad, mindfulness does not discriminate. Bad, I don't want. Good, I grasp. No, this is called reaction. This is not mindfulness. So anger arises. First, you recognize anger has arisen in my mind. Then second step, you accept it. Although it's not good. But we not yet finished the task yet. Then some generosity arises in you. Metta arises in you. You recognize it and you accept. Whether good or bad, pain arises in you, you recognize it and you accept. If you don't accept, you will say, you have resistance towards the pain. That resistance is a type of anger. Right? So the pain will trigger your anger. And if you are not aware of your anger, then you get lost. You get caught. And you will say, anger is mine. I'm angry. And you become more and more angry. So instead of cutting off refinement, you're accumulating more and more defilement simply because you react. Okay? Therefore, mindfulness does not react. Mindfulness, first, what? Recognize. Second, acceptance. Accept it first. Whether it's good or bad, doesn't matter. Okay? So these two under mindfulness. Without these two, there's no follow. The following one cannot happen. Okay? So after aware, anger has arisen in me and I accept it. Okay, next, we come to, we have to apply wisdom already. First step, apply mindfulness, sati. Second step, apply wisdom. Okay, first what to do? Anger has arisen in me. I aware, I accept. Then the third stage, I depersonalize. Depersonalize or disidentify. Then I mentally you note. Anger is not myself. Anger is not myself. Anger does not belong to me. Mentally note it. Anger does not belong to me. Anger is not myself. Anger is not myself. This is called wise attention. We talk about Lu Li Zhou Yi. We talk about wise attention. Attend to the object wisely. If you don't attend to the object in this way, your mind will say, anger is me, I'm angry. Another way of saying. Because you don't attend to the object wisely, and in deep in our heart, there's one defilement called Sakkaya Ditthi, identity. If you don't attend to the object wisely, then the Sakkaya Ditthi identity view will pop up and crush that anger and say, this is mine. Automatically, because all of us, unless you are Sotapan, all of us have this identity view. So if you do not attend to the object skillfully or wisely, this identity view automatically won. Because it's with us all the time throughout the samsara. Unless you already become Sotapan. Otherwise, this identity view will pop up and grasp the anger. I'm angry. And you get caught. The more you think you are angry, you're angry even more. Right? You get angry even more because of grasping to the anger as myself. Therefore, to prevent such thing happen, to prevent you get caught in the identity view, we have to attend to the object wisely. How to attend to the object wisely? By contemplating it as anger is not myself. Anger is not, it does not belong to me. It's not myself. Again and again, until you see the anger separate from you. It's called depersonalize. I'd like to quote an experience from my student, how when she note the pain, how she depersonalized the pain until he see the pain separate from her completely. She used my way of depersonalize. Okay, I would like to ask Maureen to read for you. During a personal retreat.
During a personal retreat last year, I had an interesting experience regarding feeling. I was sitting in the afternoon and the mind was fairly calm, resting on the breath easily. I started to get some pain in my legs where they touched the cushion. When I could no longer ignore the pain, I decided to investigate it. I tried to separate the unpleasant feeling from the sensation. I wanted to see the unpleasant aspect of the pain only, just the unpleasant nature separate from the actual sensation itself. It was difficult to see at first and also difficult to bear. It seemed to encompass my whole mind and was also wrapped up with a feeling of resistance which caused tension in my head and chest. I tried to relax and let go of the resistance and tension, but it was too great. Suddenly, a thought entered my mind. It was a quote from Celia Susila's articles that I had read recently. It said, "What feels the feeling? Feeling feels the feeling." As soon as this thought arose, the unpleasant feeling separated completely from my mind and jumped out in front of me. It's hard to explain, but it's as if the unpleasant feeling was sitting in front of me, separate from me. The resistance and tension completely disappeared because, quote, I no longer identified unpleasant feeling as mine, although it was still there. I was completely amazed and felt very relaxed and free. Then I turned my attention back to my legs. I wanted to know what was happening there. To my surprise, there was no pain at all. There was only sensation coming and going in different parts of my legs. Once again, amazing. Through the rest of the day and retreat, I played with separating feelings from myself. Pleasant feelings while eating, unpleasant feelings while sitting. It was quite entertaining. I had never experienced anything like it, nor thought anything like it was possible. I realized that trying to let go of craving or resistance is not as effective as seeing feelings as not mine. Once I have disidentified with pleasant or unpleasant feeling, the respective craving or resistance disappears on its own.
You got it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So whatever pleasant feeling or unpleasant, depersonalize. If you don't pay wise attention to depersonalize it, to say it's not mine, not myself, as I told you, the Sakkaya Ditthi, the identity view, will pop up and grab that unpleasant feeling as I, my, myself. Then you get caught. You forget you are meditating. You enjoy your pleasant feeling, or you feel very angry with your pain. That's not meditating. It's called reacting again and again. So the first step, depersonalize. Okay? Then after depersonalize, followed by, since the pain is not myself, what is this pain? Where it comes from? You have to investigate. They call investigating. Investigating is same as mental factor of wisdom, which is largely ignored nowadays during Vipassana meditation. People think it's like thinking, investigating like thinking. People don't think it is meditating, which I do not agree. Like dependent origination, Buddhas also use his mind to think, dependent on why the birth comes, why the birth is suffering because of aging and sickness, where the birth spring from, from past. All this need to investigate. Only through investigation the wisdom blossom. Therefore, in my teaching, I emphasize a lot of investigation. So then you investigate, okay, where the pain comes from. Why there's pain all over the body? Then as you investigate, the pain comes because of having the body. When there's no body, there's no pain, right? So the pain exists dependent on body. Then this is not the end of the investigation, right? Then you keep on investigating where the body comes from. So where the body comes from?
Because of karmic formation.
Yes, because of karmic formation. The karmic formation, either this life or... But for this, Buddha say in the Nidana Samyutta, Samyutta Nikaya number 12, Buddha say this body comes from the past karma. That's mentioned in the sutta, not Abhidhamma, okay? Mentioned in the sutta. This body comes from past karma. So investigate, it's because of past karma. Then, why we perform the karma?
Because we attach to our five aggregates.
Yes, correct. Because we attach especially to the pleasant feeling of body, right? In our past, we enjoy eating. No body, no tongue, how to enjoy the food, right? We enjoy having company. We enjoy bodily touch and so on. So because of having the body, all the pleasurable feeling comes. So at that time, during past, we enjoy having the body so that we can enjoy all sensual pleasures. So body comes from clinging and craving. And where the clinging and craving comes from? Where? Dependent on what? Craving and clinging comes.
Ignorance.
Not yet. Too fast. You should go back to dependent origination. This feeling. Because of pleasant feeling, right? Because pleasant feeling we have, then we develop a lot of craving and clinging to the body. Right? And this pleasant feeling come from where? Come from contact. Eye contact. When your eye sees pleasant, for example, a man's eye sees beautiful woman, then pleasant feeling arise. And when your ear hears somebody praise you, wow, I want more and more. So pleasant feeling arise, right? Your body come to comfortable, soft touch, then pleasant feeling arise. So all this pleasant feeling come from contact. And where the contact comes from? Comes from having six sense bases, and where the six sense bases comes from? Come from having mind and body. Then why we have mind and body? Because of past karma. And why we do that karma? Because of ignorance. Ignorance of what?
Ignorance
of what?
Not knowing
oneself, or another word, not knowing having mind and body is suffering.
Suffering.
We call the truth of suffering. Because of not knowing having mind and body is truth of suffering. It's called ignorance. And because of ignorance, we perform karmic formation. And because of karmic formation, we have mind and body. Because of mind and body, we have six sense bases. Because of six sense bases, we have contact. Six contact. Eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. And because of contact, we have pleasant feeling. And because of pleasant feeling, we have craving and clinging. And because of craving and clinging, we perform karma again to get the new body. Now we have the new body, and pain follow this body. Now not the pleasant feeling. Now the pain follow this body. Now I'm sitting here contemplating the pain. So if you investigate like that, trace back, forward, backward, then you see non-self also. You see everything is operated by causal relationship. Pain arises with cause, not without cause. So as you trace back like that, you see non-self. No a permanent self, no entity, no permanent I. Then you see pain as pain. This is called investigation, which is very important. All the dependent origination come from investigation. Okay? So now if I don't want pain, what to do? I don't want this pain anymore. What to do? Cut the attachment to the body. I don't want this pain associated with body. Cut the attachment to the body. When the pain comes, don't attach to it as I, mind, myself anymore. This is the way. Okay? Then after depersonalize, followed by investigation. The next step is what? Contemplate impermanence. Contemplate impermanence. For example, anger arises in you. I depersonalize. Anger is not myself, it does not belong to me. Then I investigate why anger arises. Oh, because they say somebody abused me. Someone abused me, then the abused word come to contact with the ear due to unpleasant ear contact. Unpleasant feeling arises. Then unpleasant feeling trigger anger. So now I'm angry. Okay? So after I depersonalize anger as not myself and understand cause and effect of that arising of anger by tracing the sound, ear contact and so on. So I investigate and understand this anger is not myself already. But it's still there, anger. The next, what should you do? Contemplate impermanent. Mentally you say, impermanent, impermanent. Anger is impermanent. Anger is impermanent, impermanent. Okay. While saying impermanent, there are two things you have to bear in mind. Otherwise, you only mechanically say impermanent, impermanent. No, it doesn't work. First, you must pay attention to the vanishing aspect. Don't pay attention to the stableness. For those who have studied Abhidhamma, you already have the knowledge. Everything arises, ceases. Rearises, ceases. Rearises, ceases. This is the true nature of all phenomena. What we can see, okay? However, you see, when some, let's say when anger arises, ceases. And after ceases, rearise. And when the ceases and rearise mix together, because it's so fast, mind is so fast, and these two mix together and we cannot see the vanishing, then when they mix together, then they form the false appearance of being one and the same thing. Simply why? Simply because we cannot disconnect each moment, right? So it forms the false appearance of the vanishing and the rearising simply because we cannot see the vanishing. So these two mix together and it forms the false appearance of being one and the same. This being one and the same is the concept of permanent. Permanent. Therefore, when we take the anger, we only see the permanent. Anger stay in my mind so long because it's permanent. Why is permanent? Simply because we did not see the vanishing. If we can see the vanishing, then we can see rearising. And we can see vanishing, if we can see rearising, then we see the impermanent. Therefore, when you pay attention to the anger as mental object, you try to see the vanishing, the weakest point, vanishing part. Don't see the arising part. You don't see the arising part. Try to see is the moment of passing, that moment of passing. See that point only. That's one thing. Don't see arising, but try to focus on the passing moment. Through repeated practice, you will get it. Now I say very difficult, you may not be able to understand, but at least you've got some understanding already. Then you put into practice, you will get it. This first thing. The second thing is don't pay attention to the stableness of the anger. Try to see the... So first you must have confidence, everything arising and passing away. So try to see the passing away. Don't see the strong part of the anger. There you get more and more angry and the anger won't disappear because you grasp the anger. You grasp the strong part of the anger. Okay? So try dissolving part. These 2 points. So if you can see like that, you will see the anger really dissolve. Sometimes it dissolve completely, pass away, or it may re-arise again. It re-arises again, then you will see again. Vanishing, vanishing. Mentally, you note vanishing. And trying to pay wise attention to the vanishing part. Not only mechanically, vanishing, but not trying to see the vanishing part. Okay? Then when you can see like that, then you will see fast arising and passing away. Arising and passing away. Okay, this is the technique, very skillful technique. Huh? So when I first teach this contemplating impermanent, most of my students cannot get it. You know, cannot get it. I remember I spent 1 hour explained how to contemplate impermanence of mental state. After I finished 1 hour, one student asked me, "Sister, how to contemplate impermanence?" I was very upset. I already spent 1 hour to explain how to contemplate impermanence, and I'm very satisfied with myself. I thought I'd make it very clear. And after 1 hour, she said, "How to contemplate the impermanence of mental object?" I feel so discouraged. And after that, I almost want to stop teaching this subject because people cannot grasp it. But as time goes on, more and more people grasp it. Huh? And they can really see impermanent. I also want to share with you one of my students' experience. Okay? You scroll down. Scroll down a little bit, you will see. She has amazing experience. And students' feedback is an encouragement for me. It's an encouragement for me. Otherwise, I don't know whether the student get it or not. Okay. Can you see? Scroll down a little bit. This is a form, a different form.
Oh, okay.
I find for you.
It's under contemplating permanence.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. I had heard your teaching on noting impermanence more than once over the years. I always agreed that it seemed like a good thing to do, but every time I tried to do it, it not only felt mechanical, but it was uncomfortable. So I would do it for a little while, then it would taper off. I started thinking about what I was focusing on whenever an object arose. I realized that I was looking at the stable aspects of objects and noting impermanent. But because the stable aspect seemed permanent, my noting and my experience were not matching. That's what was causing the discomfort. Although I tried very hard looking for the impermanent aspect of objects, still I couldn't see it. I felt frustrated. I asked myself, why can't I see the impermanent aspect of these objects? I looked more closely at the objects. There were so many, one after another, impinging on my senses. Then I discovered that I was seeing the arising of the objects, and the arising was the stable aspect that gives rise to the perception of permanence. Then I realized I was too tense. I was spending too much energy directing my attention at the objects, grasping at them, trying to see. So I said to myself, don't look at the objects, just look at the moments passing by. My mind relaxed, and suddenly it was like a rushing river of countless moments passing by, like a fire hose, uncontrolled, unrecognizable, a whole torrent of moments passing. Everything is passing. Since then, in daily life and meditation, I can see the passing. I can still see the passing away of moments. Whenever I can see the passing of things instead of the arising, there's a sense of relief. Particularly with unpleasant sensations, I can see them passing and they are not bothersome. When I know impermanent, it is comfortable now and matches what I am experiencing.
Okay. So, you must have confidence. Okay? People can do it, you also can do it. Okay. Some people think, you teacher can do, we cannot do. No, it's a student. Student can achieve, you also can achieve. So, mentally, you must note, after the personalized and investigation, then you not contemplate impermanent or you can not vanishing, or you can not gone, or fading away, or dissolution, whatever words you feel comfortable. But while noting, you must pay the dissolving moment, not the stable aspect of that object. Whether the object is physical object, or body, connected with body or mental object. It doesn't matter. What's important is the way of attending to the object. That's important. Okay. Let's say, if you don't contemplate impermanence of the object, what will happen? What do you think? What will happen?
The thing is permanent.
Correct. If you don't attend to the object as impermanent, because we have very strong distorted perception in our heart, everything is permanent. Right? Although we have listened 1,000 times, Buddha said impermanent, but still we have very strong distorted perception or view of mind of permanent. So if you don't attend to the object as impermanent, this distorted perception will pop up and grasp the object as permanent, permanent, permanent. Mm-hmm. That's why in commentary, you say that if you don't pay attention to the object as impermanent, then the object is concealed by continuity of is concealed by compactness of continuity. It seems like anger like continuous for 1 hour, for 10 minutes, for 5 minutes. If you didn't pay attention to impermanent, to the anger. If you don't contemplate anger as impermanent, impermanent, the anger seems continuous. And the nature of impermanent is concealed by the compactness of continuity. I mean, it seems continuous. But if you not, if you contemplate impermanent or vanishing, vanishing, then that continuity is disconnected. Disconnected, then you can see very clearly passing moment, vanishing moment. Then you achieve this insight. And as your insight goes stronger and stronger, then you see faster, passing moment, passing, 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 passing. This is what we want to achieve in the insight meditation. Without achieve this stage, Nibbana is not possible. This is called the gate to Nibbana. We call insight of arising and ceasing. It's a tender stage or mature state. Mature state, it becomes very fast. Arising and passing become very, very fast until finally you only see dissolving, dissolving, passing away, no more see arising. And suppose, if you experience such insight, how the mind, will you think your mind will remain the same? No. The mind will change. Previously, the mind clasps to every object because the mind thing is permanent. The mind thing is happy. The mind thing is having a self. So the mind clasps here, clasps there, you know, cling to this, cling to that. But now, through your direct and immediate experience, you see everything is passing away. Whatever arises, passing away, arises, passing away, then you also see another insight. Another insight also will arise in you that is unsatisfactory. Whatever arising, passing away, you feel the oppression. The oppression by constant arising and passing away. Automatically, the insight will arise automatically. Then you feel this unsatisfactory. There's oppression in your heart. This is called dukkha jnana, the insight of suffering. Dukkha jnana. And as the process keeps on going, then you see anicca, impermanence, and you see being oppressed by constant arising and passing away is dukkha, suffering. Then you also see the whole process having no permanent self, having no controller. And this whole process does not yield to my wishes. I cannot control them. And this is called non-self. Therefore, when you experience arising and passing away, arising and passing away, you also see unsatisfactory, you also see non-self. Then as it keep on going, the mind become, what do you call? There's a disgust, revulsion, disgust towards all this formation. This formation not as dear as before, not as pleasant as before anymore. So the mind get, want to detach from it. So when the mind get detached from the five aggregate, the mind doesn't love the five aggregate as before, and when there's a detachment, then there's no clinging. When there's no clinging, the mind lets go of it. When the mind already lets go of it, Buddha say, non-clinging is Nibbana. Then finally, as time goes, the insight become more and more matured, then come to a point, the mind take, let's say, impermanent, or take suffering, or take anatta, non-self, as object. Then, one moment, sotapanna, we study Abhidhamma, sotapanna, path consciousness, arise, then one become noble one. Very easy. Very easy, theoretically it's very easy. But when the anger arises, forget to mindful. When greed arises, forget to mindful, not to speak contemplate impermanent, not to speak depersonalized. Right? Therefore, what we need most is first having mindfulness first. You need effort in order to be mindful. No effort, no mindfulness. You need effort in order to be mindful, and you need wisdom in order to contemplate, in order to depersonalize, to investigate, to contemplate impermanent. And the last one is letting go. That's why I say radical. Radical is R mean recognize. R-A mean acceptance. D mean depersonalize. I mean investigate, radical. C mean contemplate impermanent, and with the small a. Small a, if you want to put something in, then contemplate non-self, anatta. L, last word.
Radical.
Letting go. So after you contemplate impermanent, if it has gone, you don't have to letting go already. Yes, it has gone already, no need to letting go. But sometimes, because the insight is not strong, when you contemplate impermanent, you cannot see vanishing, then let it go. Don't bother. The mind don't bother by it. When the mind don't grasp it, don't bother by it, then it will not disturb your mind as well. So, radical. Help you to remember. You don't have to apply all. You know, you can direct, contemplate. Let's say you can contemplate, you can depersonalize it. Then direct go to contemplate impermanent also can. Or you, after investigate, you go to contemplate impermanent, also can. Then later on, you will add more, contemplate non-self, or contemplate suffering. Once you get familiar with this practice, then sometimes contemplate anicca, sometimes contemplate dukkha, sometimes contemplate anatta. Not need to follow so rigidly the step. So this is what we call moment-to-moment practice. And this practice can be done in your daily life, not necessarily on a cushion. For example, in the office, somebody tells something very unpleasant to you. Then stand there, start contemplation. Don't say, hold on, let me take cushion and sit on the cushion. Then I will start contemplating. That's not practical at all, right? So stand there, don't care what his words, just contemplate, okay? Unpleasant feeling, impermanent, or it's not myself, no time to investigate, no problem. Impermanent, letting go, finished. Then you don't have to get angry, you don't have to make enemy with him, right? So you can practice it in your daily life. Then how about on the cushion? So I would like to recommend you after half an hour Anapanasati, if you don't want to attend jhana, then if you want to practice samatha and vipassana yoga together, this is called samatha and vipassana yoga together. Nowadays, especially for lay person, it's very difficult to attain jhana when you stay as a lay person. If you spend your whole life, 20 years, such anapanasati, I feel it's not worth it. Not worth it. Why? Because during Buddha's time, what is precious is insight meditation, not anapanasati. Out, when Buddha disappeared in the world, samatha will never disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Before Buddha gained enlightenment, there are many people in India, they're teaching samatha,
mm-hmm.
up to 8 jhana, you know, but no one teach insight.
Mm-hmm.
So during Buddha's dispensation, while Buddha's teaching still alive, what is precious is Four Noble Truths and insight meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I personally feel that we should, for lay person, okay? Because you don't have much time.
Mm-hmm.
Nah? What is more important is both together, two together.
Mm-hmm.
After half an hour, nah, then if concentration not so good, then shift to insight. There's something happened in the body. Then you use the way I teach you, one by one contemplate.
Mm-hmm.
Or after half an hour, the mind become very impatient, then depersonalize impatient. Impatient does not belong to me, impatient is not myself, then investigate why impatient, or because I want to achieve something, because I want to see something, because I expect something, it doesn't come, that's why the mind comes. Then you check, oh, this conditional phenomena. Impatient is conditional arisen phenomena. Then you contemplate, this impatient is impermanent, vanishing, then go back to anapana again. So, you can put this practice today, so that the last 1 hour, we have something to discuss, right? If you don't practice, then you do not know what difficulty you will encounter. So, after half an hour, then let go the breath and see what happened into body. Hot, you can see heat in the body, then you contemplate earth element, and earth element is depersonalize it, not myself. If you investigate cannot, then no need to investigate at this moment. Then try to see changing, impermanent, the heat element changing. You will see the heat become decreases. That decreases is also one type of impermanent.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to completely disappear, but it already changed form.
Mm-hmm.
That's called alteration. Change form is also one type of impermanent. So you must remember, oh, it now become less, oh, gone already, just not a strong hit, gone. Become less is also one type of impermanent. So keep on seeing, then seeing, important seeing the mind. Because all defilements, kilesa, all defilement is in the form of mind. Defilement can, is the, defilement responsible for the cycle of rebirth, not the body, okay? Attachment to the body. Attachment is defilement. So important is to see your attachment, to see your anger, to see your delusion, and see it impermanent, see it vanishing, see it as non-self. Then gradually you come close to your destination. You come close to your goal. Okay? Any question? I hope nobody asked me. Sister, how to contemplate? Okay. Yes.
Is the book have English?
The book is in English. Okay. If you want, you get from English later on. Okay. The book's in English. Okay. It's only one part of my chapter. I have 12 chapters, this is only the last chapter. And also this book also shows how to practice four elements meditation.
Mm-hmm.
This book shows how to practice anapanasati, how to practice four elements meditation systematically, and how to practice moment to moment, as I shared just now. Okay. So any question?
Do you have the book on there?
Is the book available?
No, you show this. There are three books left here.
He ordered.
Uh-huh.
You order from him, please.
Can we order those books?
Yeah, you order from him.
Okay.
Only three left, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can get it from Amazon also.
If you cannot get it, you can get from Amazon, but you have to pay the shipping. That's very expensive. Shipping is very expensive, something like $8, right? Here is knowledge shipping. And this I ship from Malaysia to here. You don't have to pay shipping fees, I pay. I pay the shipping fees, not you pay.
Can we practice the four elements by ourselves when we read a book?
You read a book, if you can grasp it correctly, then you practice, then if any difficulties, you still need teacher's help.
It's better to have a teacher.
You can practice on your own first, you know, if without difficulties, that's okay. But sometimes you may meet with some difficulties or doubt. Then you need, at that time you need teacher. When you have doubt or difficulties, teacher is very important. Otherwise you stuck there for a long, long time.
Are you going to give more specific teachings or guidance on exactly what we should be focusing on as object for the rest of the day, or that's just it, we just do meditate?
Unless my explanation just now is not clear, then you may need my guidance. Otherwise, as I told you already, the objects, you know, you can go to the body, or mental, or feeling, right? You can both any bodily sensation by way of four elements, or three type of feelings, pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. If arise in you, you just use the way I explain to see one by one and see it's passing away, you know. Or any mental object, anger, you know, discontent, boring, doubt. Any mental object that arises in your mind, then you use what I shared just now to see, then until it vanishes. Therefore, so because so many different objects, if I tell you mental mind, if I give instruction, they say see the physical, but somebody already very angry, so it doesn't match with this. Therefore, usually I don't give guided meditation. Yeah. Guided meditation is for child.
Since you've given so many different objects,
so you choose one. The best one is start with body.
Okay. Yeah.
Body is more gross, right? But when you get very angry at the time, then try to see the mental. See which one is more prominent to your mind. For example, the pain is so prominent to my mind. Then I see the pain by way of four elements, by depersonalized. To see impermanent of pain is a bit difficult. You don't take the stronger part and see impermanent. It does not go away one. So you can, now the call, you can take the pain and see four elements inside. That is very interesting. You take the pain and see what caused the pain. Because of fire element. Or because of hardness, or because of this of that experiment, like in the lab. Then you will see this pain is so interesting, you know. Then you forget the pain at all. No pain at all. You just see the sensation by way of four elements and you develop your wisdom. Oh, it's just four elements. So you can take the pain and see four elements. But you must know what are the four elements first, right? I explained just now a little bit. You can see the book first before you come to practice also can. So I will recommend you to focus on the physical body first. Unless the mental become very strong. Let's say anger, aversion, or boring, or impatient. Until the mental state is very strong, then you shift to note at the mental state. For most yogi, you know, having taught so many years, for most yogi, I think only few can recognize their mental state. Most people cannot. When the anger arises, they quickly grasp the anger. Myself. Because Buddha said, it's easy to identify. It's easy to disidentify body as myself. But it's very difficult to disidentify or depersonalize mental state as myself. Because when we die, we cast off the body, right? And the mental stream continue, one life after another. So it has been long time with us. So we always grasp the mental state as I mind myself. Mm-hmm. It's for this reason, the four foundation of mindfulness, Buddha said, start with the body first. Body grows. 17 mind moment. The lifespan lasts for 17 mind moment. So body has longer lifespan, so you can see it clearly rather than mind. So I'd like to recommend you to start with the body first. After half an hour, let go of the anapana, see any sensation and try to see it by way of four elements: earth, water, fire, wind. Then once a while, mental object becomes strong, then you shift your mind to the mental object. See it passing away, then nothing, go back to the breath again. Until another prominent object pop up, then you see again. Then your meditation becomes much more interesting. Not only that, you develop insight. That's what we want. During Buddha's time, what we want is insight. Not only concentration, but insight. Okay, enough. So other question, we keep for 4 o'clock. Only after practice, you will know your difficulties. Then we will discuss further. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.